It is Dwayne Rollison joining us on the line here on Sportsnet 650 Canucks Central. Dwayne, thanks a lot for taking us on, some time to join us here today.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime, guys.
We do want to get to the, you know, the 2003 series and your thoughts of what's going on currently, but we're just having a conversation of how far goaltending has come and really the emphasis on the position. When you coach it now, what do you take from how you were coached and you think, boy, it really has changed and I was taught certain things that I would never teach now?
Well, I actually, to be honest with you, I sort of don't like the way some of the things are being coached now or taught now. And I try to eliminate a couple of things in my goalies. Just, you know, the reverse HV, it's designed for one specific play in a game. And it just gets overused. Like things like that, that in the modern game, way the guys are teaching some things that fundamentally, I always relate it to a house. You know, the stronger the foundation, the better they are. So if you can move well and you have a good stick and hands, then you can build as high as you want to go. But right now, I think we're almost overcoaching goalies to a point that we're hurting them more than helping them. It's just my beliefs anyways.
Well, that's interesting too, because I do find sometimes that's in sports, we try to, you know, have like a cookie cutter way of developing athletes and, you know, tailoring how to coach someone to the individual is actually really interesting. And it felt like there were more styles of goalies, you know, 25 years ago, whereas now we're becoming more uniform when it comes to goaltending. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that is 100% correct. You don't have the Hasics anymore who are willing to, you know, do whatever it takes to make a save and playing behind them for 2 years and trying to figure out why he was doing stuff and building a relationship with them to tell me. It's pretty much the reason why he did what he did was he was able to read the game. He knew what players were doing before they did. And so that's why you would see him dive and, you know, be reaching out or poke checking guys where, you know, I think the way that the game's being taught now, we sort of lose that in our goalies. You know, they don't read the game as much. And you see a lot of guys just like, well, it went in. It was supposed to hit me, you know. That's, you know, for me as a coach, but also playing the game, it's frustrating for me to see. And it's just, I want to see guys that, you know, for me, the guys that I like are the guys that are able to read plays, the Carey Prices, the Holpes, like, you know, the guys that are at the NHL level are there for a reason. But you know, I think at the youth level and even some spots in major junior and college, they overteach and don't get back to, you know, read the game, read what's going on, what's the player's next best play, and then react to that. And, you know, we're taking that away from some of the younger kids, the youth, and we're hurting their development in the long run.
Dwayne, with the Canucks and the Wild set to take on a playoff series, a play-in series this weekend, there's been a lot of revisiting of that 2003 series between your Wild and the Canucks. What do you remember about a series that had a lot of peaks and valleys, and obviously your team ended up on the winning end?
What I remember most is the back-to-back Game 6 and Game 7. We were in Mini, and we flew into Vancouver, and when we arrived in Vancouver, there was a car that was sitting right outside the FBO there, you know, huge Canucks flag on it, and it was pretty much driving right beside our bus all the way in into the city, and it was just crazy. It was honking, and it was, you know, great support, and the boys were all laughing, and you know, we had a good time coming back into the city. But you know, that was the number one thought. And then, you know, in Game 7, you know, I wasn't right there, but Willie Mitchell said that Bertuzzi said, you know, hopefully you got your golf clubs back, because it was 2-1, I think, at the time, about halfway through the second period. And sure enough, we were able to get the lead and hold on. And the handshake after was, there's some chuckles, I'm sure, between Willie and Todd at the time. But, you know, for us, it was, you know, it was a battle of will. You know, we were able to you know, we did it the next series as well, but we're down 3-1 and just being able to come back and beat a strong club, you know, well-coached club, great goaltending by Klooch, and, you know, with the Twins and then Trevor, you know, the defense core, like there was a solid team, and we were just fortunate enough to get some bounces and win game seven.
We had Wes Walls on the station today and also Todd Bertuzzi. And I'm curious, I think we need you to be the deciding vote here, right? Because hate builds quickly in a playoff series, and it can come from any form. And there's a famous story in Vancouver of Todd Bertuzzi interacting with Minnesota Wild fans of, why are you buying tickets? The series is going to be over. And Wes Walls told a different story of how the Wild found motivation of the Canucks not wearing helmets in warm-up skate. Do you have any recollection of this?
Yeah, well, there's probably about 10 different things that sort of went on in the series that sort of we internally used as fire. And, you know, they had such a great season and, you know, rightfully so. But, you know, we're always taught and, you know, when you look back at the Wild at the time, we're pretty much every single guy on a team was a third, fourth line guy somewhere else, playing, myself included, being in the minors forever and having to take a stint back down to the minors to come back up. But guys that had to go through a lot of adversity. So, you know, for us at that time, we just like, okay, well, let's use this. And, you know, everyone's writing us off. Let's use this to propel ourselves to the little things to win a series. And cliche as it is, it's realistically what we did is we weren't caring that we're down 3-1. We were just caring about, you know, winning that next shift and winning the next battle and all the little things that went into a game that, you know, all the guys that had to bring lunch pails and hard hats to the game, in all of our careers, you know, that's, you know, to stay playing, that's what our guys did. And, you know, at the end of it, we were able to come out ahead and, you know, it was fun. You know, I was sad for the guys that had such a great season, but at the same time, it was, for us as a team and as a group, it was definitely rewarding.
You mentioned the fans in Vancouver, and obviously this year, given the circumstances, there's not going to be that back and forth and that impact from fans in the stands and a crowd noise and just the, I guess, an entire city getting behind the team. It's going to be a little bit more focused on what the teams are generating. What kind of preparation would you be going for playing in this kind of environment where there's no crowd and you really have to rely on your team to pick up your game and be in a place where you're ready to compete?
Yeah, you know, as a pro athlete, you sort of get used to tuning things out. Obviously, the emotion of the fans and things like that sort of drive you a little bit, but for the most part, you have to tune things out for the good and for the bad. You know, when I was growing up, and I hate to say when I was growing up, but there wasn't a sports psychologist on staff until I got to Edmonton, and we never learned the mental side of the game. And all these guys now have somebody they've worked with in the past, and the teams have people to be able to help guys through these emotional roller coaster rides of the spikes from the fans and the downs from the fans and media. You know, it's a big part. And, you know, so these guys now are so tuned in to the way they need to play without outside noise. And, you know, with the NHL pumping in the music and the fan noise and all that stuff, you know, it's not the same, but it's going to feel similar once the game's start meaning something. You'll see the emotions start rising pretty quickly between the players, and they know what's on the line. And you know, and like I said earlier, with their mental makeup and how they've been able to learn to deal with blocking things and doing things the right way to have success, you'll see guys rising to the top, and still it'll be, I think, for the fans' perspective, it'll be pretty close to real playoff series.
NHL netminder Dwayne Rollison joining us. He of 600 plus games in the big league. One thing that a lot of fans here are looking at is, you know, Vancouver Canucks, their leaders are young players, Elias Pettersson, Quinn Hughes, Brock Besser. It's their first foray into the playoffs. And there's the old adage of, you know, you learn how to play in the playoffs. Is that more about a physical thing to you, or is that more of a mental thing? Because I look at the playoffs and I think, you know, there's so many highs and lows, and the swings are so dramatic and quick that if you're able to just, you know, stay in your head basically and keep focus, that helps more so than anything. So is it a physical thing that we can see on the ice, or is it an internal thing?
It's both. It definitely is both. You know, physically, the team that's healthy usually wins. You know, with the big break here, everyone is pretty close to being healthy. If I read the injury reports correctly, everyone's pretty much healthy now. So that gets thrown out the window. It's the mind game. It's the guys that are able to park out making a mistake that, you know, cost a goal or cost a penalty where that led to a goal, and being able to forget about those things and being able to go out and play your best hockey. Even though something bad just happened the shift before, even in that shift, and trying to forget about it. And I think that's part of the, you know, the sports psychology that most of the teams now have, someone on staff that, you know, these guys are so more prepared mentally than the teams that I played on and the guys that played before us. You know, we never had that. We just went and did our thing. And, but all these guys now have learned all those traits, and, you know, so now it's just a battle of will at the end of it. And most of it is mental.
There's a feeling that in these playoffs, because of the play-in and the fact that there's been a four-month layoff, that there's the potential for a sleeper team, a surprise team to go on a run. Obviously, the Oilers team that you were on in 2006 really caught fire during the playoffs, and by the end of it was playing some really exceptional hockey. Do you think that the circumstances, the layoff, and the fact that some of these teams are going to be kind of gearing up at the same time leads to the potential to have a team maybe go all the way that we're not expecting?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, getting back to that, like, look at the Canucks, where they were health-wise before this shutdown. You know, they had two goalies that were hurt, and, you know, they had some players that were hurt, and now they're all healthy again. So, you know, just using the Vancouver Canucks, like, I think Montreal was that way. Columbus isn't quite fully healthy yet, but they're close. Like, there's a lot of those teams that were having great years, and all of a sudden they ran into the injury bug, and now everyone's healthy. So now it's going to make for some interesting games here moving forward. And, you know, and like I said earlier, playoffs is usually the team that's healthy wins, and, you know, we got everyone healthy. So it's, like I said earlier, it's going to be pretty fun to watch all these teams that are healthy playing for Stanley Cup. And I think the intensity is just going to escalate pretty quick and pretty high here. And, you know, I think the fans are in for good playoffs.
Former NHL goalie Dwayne Rollison joining Canucks Central here, Bick Nizar and Israel Fair. You've also played 50 playoff games. When does it click for a team? Like, when do you know, okay, hey, we're going on a run? Is it middle of the second round, or do you got to win that second round? Cause you've been on some famous runs. When does the team start to believe?
That's the biggest thing is the belief, right? Once the team believes, and, you know, for us in against the Canucks, it was, I think game three, I think, we started believing then, you know, we're rolling, we're pushing back. We're actually generating some offensive zone play. We're creating a momentum ourselves, and we started believing that, you know what, we can hang with these guys. They were one of the best teams in regular season, or the best team in regular season. You know, we just made it in. We limped in the playoffs, and hell, we can hang with these guys. And then all of a sudden we started believing, and guys were doing the extra little thing to have success with blocking shots, getting pucks out. You know, same thing with the Oilers. against playing against Detroit. Obviously, everyone knows Detroit's history and the great players that they had. I think they had 5 or 6 Hall of Famers on the team. And, you know, for us, just clinching a playoff spot, second last game of the year, just, you know, going into game one and taking on the overtime, I think right then and there we believed that we could hang with them. But we didn't fully believe until game two that we could hang with them. You know, it's like, okay, we might have got lucky game one, but game two, we're right there with them and we're battling with them and owning the play for most of the game. And it was just like, hey, we got these guys. We can beat these guys. And our coaching staff, you know, they just kept on, you know, filling a lot of confidence into everyone's play. You know, I wasn't on the bench, but it was like talking to the guys after the game. You know, they're like, holy smokes, our coaching staff is so positive. And, you know, I think that's, you know, that was Jacques Lemaire as well in Minnesota. Like, as soon as you get the guys believing, then also the coach is pumping up guys with confidence as soon as they're coming back. Great play and all those little things. It just now lifts the players up. And, you know, and then it's sky's the limit. And it's just being healthy and trying to grind through the rest of the games.
We'll get you out on this, Dwayne. That 0-3 series, or that whole run for you guys, you and Manny were kind of ahead of the curve as far as goalie tandems. It's so in vogue now. You know, how do you handle that? And is that something you could see happening in this upcoming playoffs or maybe even beyond?
Yeah, I could see it happening with a couple teams for sure. You know, and, you know, the whole thing with us, with Manny and I, we did play, you know, Jock had the teams that we played well against. We played against those teams in regular season. And then, you know, playoffs, I started against Colorado. Then I had, you know, I tweaked my groin pretty bad in game one, played game two or started game two and ended up getting pulled because I couldn't really do anything. And against Van, like I was, you know, I was still limping pretty good until, you know, I think game three, I was finally healthy enough to play. And then you know, whatever happened, and Manny ended up getting pulled or whatever. You know, I had the opportunity to get back in the net. So, you know, between us, we were good friends, but also we pushed each other every day. And that's when you get a competition. You know, Carolina's had one of those pretty much for most of the year, where they're pushing guys. You know, Vancouver a little bit at the beginning of the year, and then the Markstrom sort of took the run with Thatcher behind him, pushing him every day, and Thatcher needing to get the net as a young guy. And I think it's a great problem to have if your organization has two great goalies. And, you know, fortunate enough for us in Minnesota, we were able to run and support one another, and the team played the same way with whoever was playing that. And that's another key. Like, you don't want to make a goalie change and then hurt your team with them playing a little bit more defensively compared to a lot more offensive with a guy in net. And as much as people don't think it happens, it does. Guys play a little bit different in front of different goalies.
One last thing. Do you have thoughts on this upcoming series?
Well, I have to say it's wild because being an alumni and all, I have to say it. If I didn't say that, then I'd be shot. But I think it's going to be a great series. It's going to go the distance. You know, when you're doing check marks, you can probably go down and split the check marks halfway through. So I think it's going to be a great series. It's going to be fun. And obviously game one's probably going to be a little rusty, but at the same time, it's going to be a lot of emotion. And, you know, from that 0-3 run, the Wild Canucks rivalry is pretty high. And, you know, I think the next year after that playoff series, we played them like 7 times in the month of October or something like that. So it really created a big rivalry, at least from Minnesota's perspective. So I think, you know, the people there, the city, the players who were there, Koivu, who was sort of learning it at the time, will be able to push the guys a little bit harder. And then, you know, Vancouver's young guys, I think, are, I don't want to say it, but are going to do really well.
We appreciate it, Dwayne. He is Dwayne Rollison. Take care, and hopefully we can connect with you down the road here.
Yeah, it sounds good. Anytime, guys. I appreciate it.